God's not random. I'm not saying that. He had a reason. And he just burdened my heart with this story. And I got fascinated in it and kind of dove into it. And I was having a good old time. And so that's where we're going this morning. It's going to be a story of a man whose life story is strung out between several passages in Scripture. If you don't look up his name and find the different occurrences, you might think you're reading about different people. But we're going to read something that happened, and we're going to read the cause and effect of his life and learn something from it. But let me just start off by saying he was an insincere servant. He based his service based on, well, you'll see what I mean. Let me not let the cat out of the bag too far up ahead. And I can say that because we've got 7 cats in our house right now. So I know what I'm talking about. Amen. With a mother cat and 3 kittens plus 3 cats we already have. So anyway, the story of Shimei, S-H-I-M-E-I, an insincere servant. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 16. This is where more we're actually starting. But I wanted to bring out where God says serve him in sincerity. 2 Samuel chapter 16. 2 Samuel chapter 16. Now, we're dropping right into the middle of a story. Right into the middle. I'm not going to really read the context verses because you can do that in this chapter yourself later, and we don't have the time for that this morning. But the setting is this. David is fleeing Jerusalem because his son Absalom is revolting. He's rebelling, trying to take the kingdom from King David. And David is fleeing. He's left the city already. He left it straightway. And he's headed out into a hiding place. And he's on the march fleeing from Absalom when we read and drop into verse 5. And when King David came to Bahurim on the way out of fleeing from Absalom, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul. Now, it's very important to keep in mind who this man is and what his kindred and relationship is, not to David, but to Saul. I remember Saul, long time, has been out of the picture. God himself brought Saul to the point of the sword and brought Saul down and caused Saul to perish because Saul had rejected the word of the Lord many years before. David, honestly, and with the most respect I've ever seen in any story of the Bible, assumed the throne. You read many stories in the Bible where someone assumes the throne through treachery, through betrayal, through espionage or conspiracy over and over again. And those that did so were themselves the very target of that thing later on. Thus, we learn that we reap what we sow. Those that overthrew kings through betrayal themselves ended up being betrayed by someone under them. And sometimes the reign was only a few months long. So God didn't bless in Israel those that were like that. But David, as you remember, he was very respectful of Saul, though Saul hunted his life. Though Saul wanted to kill him and countless times tried, David would not stretch forth his hand against Saul and said, look, God will take care of him in God's own time. And so Saul ended up perishing, and David did not assume the throne by wrongdoing. He didn't come to the throne by wrongdoing. No one could point a finger at David and say, you murdered Saul or whatever. Yet this guy is trying to say that. Because he's of the family of the house of Saul. So he's sympathetic and feels that Saul's house should still be in power. Now, there was battles between Saul and David after Saul perished. But his name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. He came up cursing David a blue streak. That's probably not the correct way to put that, but he was cursing like a sailor at David, sounds like. Okay? No slam against the Navy. But and he cast stones at David and at the servants of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. He's just stoning, throwing stones at them. That's what he calls shooting your wounded, criticizing someone when they're down. It's bad enough to curse someone, but then to throw rocks, stones at them. Now, I don't know what he was thinking. He was pretty bold. Surely he could have figured that David, even in his state, could have commanded that his head be taken off. I mean, why put up with something like that? Like I was saying in Sunday school, I have a feeling this guy did not really have the proper God perspective on himself. He must not have respected himself or felt good about himself because he had obviously a time treating other people with respect and honor. And yet he didn't do it all the time when David was in power. he waited until David looked like he was on his way out to show his true colors. The story gets more interesting. The story gets more fun. I mean, it's really funny because you read these stories sometimes, and when you put the pieces together out of different books, it's an amazing thing. Because if you just read this passage, you think, okay, Shimei, and you don't read about it again. But we read about him again at three other points in Scripture, different books. And it all takes shape. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David. I read that, but I mean, he's just going all out. I mean, he's not holding back anything. I mean, he can't kill him. I mean, he can't get that close, but he's lobbing rocks at him. Reminds me, was it Ernest T? On Andy Griffith? Remember he lobbed rocks at people? Yeah, I remember him. He'd throw rocks at everything that moved. So this is the guy I just picture Ernest T in the background, the dust cloud and rocks coming out of it, I don't know. This guy is something else. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right and on his left. I mean, David's surrounded. But the guy is trying to hit David with a rock. And thus said Shimei when he's cursed, come out, thou bloody man and thou man of Belial. So he's saying, come on, get out. Step out in between all your protection. Come on, face me. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul. Now, David was not guilty of the blood of the house of Saul. He was extremely careful to never raise his hand against Saul, even though Saul was dead wrong in what he did. He says, in whose stead thou hast reigned? Now, it is true that he was reigning in Saul's stead, but God had chosen David just like he chose Saul. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, my son. Now, that's not true. Absalom was in rebellion. Now, part of that was David's fault. David wasn't there for Absalom when he should have been. There was something Absalom and some other kids had done, of David's kids that they had done, some pretty bad things that had happened, and he just kind of stayed out of it like an absent dad. He didn't get involved, and he should have. He should have reproved one of his sons that wasn't, and Absalom got mad because one of his brothers did something to his sister, and David didn't do anything about it. And so Absalom ended up going into rebellion. Now, Absalom was an egotist. I mean, he had a head the size of the state of Texas. I'm not just talking about his hair. He had some pride. And he was beautiful, the Bible says. Now, if I were a guy, I don't think I'd want that said about me. Handsome, maybe something a little bit more manly, but beautiful, I don't know. But, the Bible said, and I'll make it all, to top that all, he had long hair. Again, I don't get the idea that this guy was the manliest guy in the block and among David's kids. But David, for all of his strengths, one of his strengths was not being a father, unfortunately. He had some issues when it came to being a father. He had a hard time with his kids. I think it's that he did not invest in them enough. Now, I know he invested in Solomon. You read the book of Proverbs, most of that is Solomon telling what David told him. We always think of how wise Solomon is. Well, think of what David told him. And he's quoting a lot of his dad, which is David. I think David learned his lesson with Solomon and tried to the last, but he went through some kids and learned the hard way. No one's perfect. I mean, everyone has problems and weak areas. And David was not the best dad. And I think, again, he tried with Solomon. He tried to make up for it. But here we have Absalom. And it's partly David's fault. He wasn't there for Absalom. He wasn't there for his other kids when something terrible happened. And so Absalom's rebelled. And this guy, Shimei, he's blaming everything on David. Now, this is wrong. But he says, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, thy son, and behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Now here he's just falsely accusing David. Then said Abishai, that's one of David's captains, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king. He was related to Joab. Both of them were hotheads. Joab and all his kin were hotheads. And we'll see that in a little bit. But he says, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? And true enough, there's no reason why they couldn't have taken his head off. But this again reflects David's character and the irony of what this guy was accusing David of. Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. Now, if David had indeed been a man of much blood and a man of mischief, he would have told Abishai, yeah, go take his head off the shoulders right now. I don't want that guy cursing me. If he really would have been what Shimei was accusing him of. But David didn't lower himself to that. And again, David wasn't perfect. He wasn't perfect. He made mistakes. He made mistakes with Bathsheba too, amen? Big mistake. But he was a man that was not vengeful. And that was one of his strengths. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? He's saying, you men, you guys, the children of Zeruiah, Joab was one of them. They're always trying to get me in trouble because you're hotheads. So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. One of the things I really honestly believe, about which God said that David was a man after his own heart, because it wasn't in the area of Bathsheba, we know that. And obviously it wasn't in the area of raising his children. But God said David was a man after his own heart. He didn't say he was a man with God's heart. He didn't say he was a man this or that. He said he was a man after. He was shooting to try to have a heart like God. And one of the ways in which I believe it was this. He believed God was behind everything. If something bad happened, God's in control, just like Job. Let the Lord be, take care of it. I'm not going to take things into my own hands. That's why he was so proper in his dealing with Saul. And I really believe that's one of the main things that made him approved to God. Study show thyself approved unto God, the Bible says. I believe that's one of the main things. He understood God's hand was behind everything, and that his job was to submit to God. That people were not his enemies. That God was his commander, and whether he understood it or not, he needed to follow his commander. So he said, the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. And maybe it was that God was testing David here. As I said, this is partly David's fault that Absalom has rebelled. He probably sensed that I kind of deserved this. Yes, David probably did deserve. I mean, how many times do we go to things we really do deserve? You know, David probably did deserve some of this heartache. I feel bad for David. I wouldn't have wanted him to go through this, but he messed up when it came to Absalom. He was an absentee father with most of his children. Who then shall say, wherefore hast thou done so? He said, if God told Shimei to curse me, who am I to say, God, you're wrong? Now, we always put it on the, you know, I say we always, that's overgeneralizing. A lot of times, we as Christians put it on a plane that we understand and see and leave it there. Something happens, we're just like attack the thing or the person. The plane of which David thought, the level of which his thoughts occurred, is what we need to shoot for. Always look at it from a heavenly perspective. God's allowed this to happen. Who am I to question God? And that is one of the strengths that David shines brightest in. But this isn't the story of David we're reading about this morning. It's the story of Shimei. Let's continue. And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? And once again, Saul was the son of Kish of the tribe of Benjamin. This guy was closely related to Saul. So he took some personal offense in the fact that David had taken his relative's throne. Understandable, perhaps, but still not justifiable. Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. Now that's not fatalism. Well, whatever is going to be is going to be. Then why do anything about it? That's not what David's doing here. He's resigned to trusting God. David was a doer. Make no mistake about it. He wasn't passive. He didn't just let life pass him by. I mean, he was a man of war. That's why David, God wouldn't let him build a temple, but said Solomon had to build a temple. Because you have shed much blood, but it was in following God that he had to do that. So it's not that he's a pacifist or lazy or something like that. He was resigned to follow God, and whatever God brought his way, he was willing to accept it. When David made mistakes, he was willing to learn. When he made that mistake with Bathsheba, and then Nathan the prophet came to him, what did he say? He repented. Now he had to be rebuked some kind of hard, because he not only had done the mistake, but he murdered someone to cover it up. But when God rebuked him through Nathan, he broke down and he got right. I'm not saying that people should do wrong just so that they can say, well, I'll just get it right with God later. But nonetheless, David was willing to learn. That's an attribute, again, that I think really qualified David to be called a man after God's own heart. I mean, a man after God's or a lady after God's own heart, what does that mean? But that wanting to learn to be more like Christ or after being like Jesus. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. Now, once again, here's a principle I mentioned in Sunday school. When someone does you dirty, you think, well, die to self. I'm dead in Christ. If I'm dead in Christ and someone does me wrong, it shouldn't bother me because I'm supposed to be dead to self and you can't offend a corpse. Self is supposed to be dead. But nonetheless, you can appeal to the judgment seat of Christ. Because you do have senses. You do understand when things hurt. Maybe if your employer fired you at some point. Or, you know, I remember when I worked at Powell's, there are many things that were said and done toward me that weren't right. But you know what? I wanted to provide for my family. And I knew I needed to work hard. And you keep doing it for Jesus and for your family. And, you know, you don't take things personally. But nonetheless, you still hear things. You know, but I mean, now I realize leaving after having left a long time, when the Pops came here, and I think I shared this, he said basically no one there gets a fair shake except a select, exclusive few. But, you know, the point is, I still had to have something that made me feel better. And just like I was talking about marriage, you love your neighbor as yourself. You know, it's not that you're out of the equation in life. You are. God will take care of you. And David even says here, look, God will take care of it for me one day. But it's God that must do it, not me. So whether it's in a relationship with people, treating them as you'd want them to treat you, or if it's something you're hurt, not taking vengeance, you defer to God taking care of it one day, rather than trying to correct it ourselves. Again, a very strong strength that David had here throughout his life. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. He's getting a little bit closer, a little bit bolder. You ever try to throw dust? It doesn't go near as far as stones do. Do that, does it? Do they do that? Does it? You can't throw dust very far. So unless he just wasn't planning on hitting David, he was getting closer. He was getting a little bit bolder. You can throw stones from a good little way. I don't know if Shimei had a good arm or not. But, you know, you can throw stones from a... You can, if you're good aim. He was probably irritating David and his men. It's like, why are we letting this guy do this to us? Oh, you know. But dust. Like, it's in your eyes. You breathe it. Got to get a lot closer. But they didn't do anything. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. They reached a point. He didn't take up for himself, didn't try to defend himself. And he wouldn't let himself be a doormat. Again, he understood he probably deserved some of this. This could have been some of God saying, look, you kind of messed up. You need to at least understand that even though you're trusting me to take care of you, you brought some of this on yourself. But David was resigned. Whatever God said, look, that's what the Lord needs. And another time, when David numbered the people, and God said, look, you shouldn't have done that because God had told all the kings of Israel not to number their people. So David was not supposed to. That was part of the job description of an Israeli king. Don't number the people. Just for whatever reason, God told them not to. But David did at one point. God said, look, I've got to judge you. Choose one of three things to do. Which punishment do you want? And again, David was very penitent, very humble, very resigned. Lord, I don't want to fall into the hand of man. Let me fall in the mercies of the Lord. He was very resigned. Look, the Lord pities them that fear Him like as a father pities his children, the Bible tells us in Psalms. If we'll have that attitude when God deals with us in life, whether it's in a punishment way or just whatever way, I tell you, it goes a long way with God. When we humble ourselves before Him. Whether it's because something wrong we did or if it's just nothing wrong we did and it's just we're encountering troubles. If we'll humble ourselves before the Lord, that goes a long way with the Lord. It's like when you're driving down the interstate and you see a police officer on the side and maybe you're going 65 maybe in a 55 or something like that. You tap on the brakes out of respect. At least we should. And really, we should be going the speed limit, okay? But the idea of police officers want you to show respect. If you just zoom right by them, you're going to see lights. They may show lights anyway if you're going over. But if you show no regard for the fact that they're sitting there, that's going to irk them. Well, it's similar with the Lord. He doesn't want us to just give eye service either, just when He's watching, so to speak. But God wants us to have a respect and a fear and a humility when we come before Him. That goes a long way. And so we don't know what happened to Shimei at this point at the end of verse 13, but apparently he must have finally given up. He got close enough to throw dust, thought, well, I'm not moving this guy. So he goes away. Maybe he got ashamed of himself. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if Shimei became ashamed of himself. Because he expected David to respond to his accusations and to justify them. If David had responded violently, what Shimei would have said would have seemed true. But he didn't, and God gave him refreshing. They refreshed themselves. So all we hear is that David was able to refresh himself. Shimei, I don't know where he went. So here we see the slip. He messed up. Shimei messed up in the story of Shimei. Again, this isn't David's story, it's Shimei's. Here we see the slip. Okay? Jimmy, I slipped. He never revealed this while David was in power and the kingdom established. But the moment David has a problem and it looks like he's vulnerable, Simei slips and shows his true heart toward David. I mean, this stuff didn't start overnight. Here's his slip. I'm going to read a couple passages. Be turning to 2 Samuel chapter 19. We'll see the next occurrence of Shimei. 2 Samuel chapter 19. I'm going to read a verse or two in the meanwhile. Proverbs chapter 29 says this in, in verse 11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Ecclesiastes 5:2 says, be not rash with thy mouth. I would dare say that Shimei, at the very least, was rash and foolish in just blurting all that out. But really, you see the intensity of what he was doing. He wasn't just cursing, but physically assaulting David and his men. There was a deeper problem in Shimei's heart. So there was the slip. Let's look at 2 Samuel 19. We'll see the, quote, sorry. Oops, sorry. Well, why is he saying sorry now? Well, here's why. 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 15. He doesn't say sorry until now. So the king returned. Okay, the battle's over with Absalom. Again, I'm not reading the context. You can read these on your own for the sake of time. But, you know, Absalom's dead. The battle's over. David's established again. Well, mighty convenient. Shimei, you're trying to come patch things up now, huh? Why didn't you do it before Absalom died? Now, I know there were geographical limitations. People couldn't just travel here and there. You know, and Shimei seems to make a point, as we see, of being the first one to greet the king, like, I really am sorry. Look at verse 15. So the king returned and came to Jordan. And Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. Here the king's returning. And Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Bethurim, which was where he met David the first time, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. Now, he may be trying to apologize and may be trying to do it in a way that's valid to David, but at the very least, what's written all over Shimei is insincerity. To me. Because that kind of bitter and vitriolic speech and throwing things, that doesn't happen overnight. He was fostering that in his heart for a long time. And just the first chance he got, he couldn't hold himself back and he let it all fly. So here we see. And Shimei, the son of Gera, I already read that, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. Verse 17, and there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba the servant of the house of Saul, and so forth. And they went over a ferry boat. Verse 18, look at the end of verse 18. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king. Oh, king, you are once again, oh no, in power. Huh? Oh boy, I made a mess of myself. Yow. How do I fix this? And David was gracious. He knew David was a merciful king. If he'd have been the kind of guy that he was accusing David of, do you think he'd have come? He'd have run the other way and left the country. Hello? I mean, if David was really the way Shimei accused him of being the first time, what makes you think he's going to forgive him now? He knew better. Fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan and said unto the king, let not my Lord impute iniquity unto me. I was an idiot. You can just hear him saying that, you know. Neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my Lord the King. I don't know. Again, I mean, this is just me. Ah, man. I tell you, David was a better guy. Well, no, I would have probably forgiven him too. Because, I mean, it's obvious that's what God wants us to do. But, I mean, you got to hand it to David. He was pretty patient. Okay? It would have been hard. Amen? When you're down, someone will stab you in the back and they cut me. I don't know. And look, that's the way we should be. We should forgive. But I mean, David gets a few kudos here. Praise the Lord. I mean, he gets some points. He acted Christ-like in this. But he says, my Lord the King went out of Jerusalem. That the king should take it to his heart. Don't take to heart what I said. I can't believe I said that. Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah. Better. He wouldn't have said it. It might have been nice, too, if you hadn't thrown the stones, you know. I mean, that might just be a pointer for next time. And the dust probably wasn't a good idea either, if you really were not meaning to do all that. Okay? Just a point to remember for next time. Take it for whatever it's worth. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Yeah, probably everyone else in the kingdom, too. He already blew it with his testimony. Now, once again, he gets forgiven. That's wonderful. I think he should have been. But the story's not over with that. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come this the first this day of all the house of Joseph. He was the first of the house of not only of Benjamin, but of Joseph, which was Ephraim also. Look, I am the first one to come here and meet you, coming over the River Jordan. The very first. I'm not the last. And at least he was smart about that. But the first to meet my Lord the King. Now, here is the incorrect response. And again, a hothead, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, "Shall not Shimei, now that we're back in power, now that we've got the kingdom in our hands, and no one can point to you and say, 'Look, you took off his head just because he said sticks and stones may break thy bones, but words will never hurt thee.'" You know, shouldn't we just quit and just get rid of this threat? I mean, he could, you know, cause murmuring if he stirred some people up to go his way. "Shall not Shimei be put to death for this because he cursed the Lord's anointed? Look, you believe in not stretching forth your hand against the Lord's anointed, and he did this to you. Shouldn't he be put to death?" David understood vengeance is the God's, not ours. Whether it was easy, whether it was hard, whether things were going for him or against him, he stood and stuck to that principle. Stood by. "What am I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? You hotheads, you're doing it again to me. That you should this day be adversaries unto me. You're acting like my enemy," he says to Abishai. Shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king of over Israel?" I will say this. David seems to me to be a rather secure individual. Now, some say he wrestled with discouragement. That's possible. But he did not feel like he had to squash every uprising, put out every fire. If you go around putting out every fire in life, you're going to smell like smoke. You got to trust God with things. And, you know, he did not take vengeance into his own hand. He said, "Look, I know God's put me back in power. Look, it's in God's hands anyway. Why do I need to prove it by taking this guy's head off?" Therefore, the king said unto Shimei, "Thou shalt not die." And the king sware unto him, "Look, I'm not going to kill you." That's the quote, sorry, from Shimei. We see his slip. We see his sorry. Let's look at the sowing, though. 1 Kings chapter 2. David's old now. He's just about ready to go to be with the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 2. He is well stricken in years. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 7. I'm going to have to speed through this kind of quicker. 1 Kings 2, verse 7. "But show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite." Now this guy did the opposite when David was fleeing from Absalom. He helped David. He gave them food. They fled so fast they didn't have time to take food with them. They went barefoot. And this guy met them and gave them supplies and a place to stay for, I forget if it was a night or what. But so he's saying to Solomon, Solomon's about to assume the throne. The story goes all the way up to Solomon and into Solomon's reign with Shimei. And David is about to hand the throne over to Solomon. Solomon's young. People are thinking, is he going to be wise? Of course, we know how that went. He ended up being the wisest man that ever lived other than Jesus. But he says, these are instructions to his son as he's about to assume the throne. "For they came to me when I fled because of Absalom, thy brother. And behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim." Now, we are not told what Shimei said. But apparently, one of the things he said must have been terrible. Or, as David puts it here, grievous. A particular curse that Shimei cursed David with. "But when he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do. But his forehead bring thou down to the grave with blood." Now what he's talking about here is he knew apparently some things have been going on. We're not told with Shimei. Shimei, while David was not one to take vengeance in his own hands, yet a king is the one that bears the sword, Romans 3:13 tells us. And there was a crime committed here that he was basically saying has been delayed. It's like taxes being deferred with IRAs and stuff. This crime has been deferred. But it does need to be justice served on it sooner or later. I told him I would not. Now, we'll see that Shimei never would have had to have any justice if he had followed some directions. But here's the sowing. Shimei sowed a terrible curse against David. Numbers 32:23 says, "Behold, be sure your sin will find you out." Surely at this point, Shimei is thinking, "I've got it made. I may have cursed David, but he forgave me." And apparently, Shimei never really quite got it right. The idea I get from Scripture is it was kind of an insincere apology. We see him apologizing, but we'll see a little bit later on, his heart was not still loyal to the kings that were in place. So, again, the emphasis here on being an insincere servant. Insincerity is what is the wrong with Shimei. It's kind of an eye service, lip service thing, but his heart's somewhere else and it's wrong. Be sure our sins will find us out. That's the sowing. Now look at 1 Kings, same chapter, but verse 36. We'll see the sentence that ends up being handed down to him. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 36. This is Solomon. "And the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, Build thee an house in Jerusalem." So this is what Solomon decided to do about Shimei. "And dwell there, and go not forth thence any whither." He said, "You build a house in Jerusalem, and you stay inside Jerusalem, and you're going to be fine the rest of your life." He can make as much money as he wanted. He could do whatever he wanted, but he had to stay. He was under, instead of house arrest, I don't know what, there's probably a legal term for being confined to a certain area. I know that certain sex offenders and such aren't allowed in areas like fairs and so forth. I remember when I went to work at last year at that fair in Raleigh, I was working at that booth where we were passing out tracts, and they captured an offender right behind our booth. And the reason they knew he was there is because he had an ankle bracelet that reports to satellite, and every 2 minutes they can see where he is. And he's not supposed to be in areas where kids are. So he can never go to fairs. I guess he can't go to malls, whatever. People that are, you know, so here he is. He's not supposed to be there. And here we see all these policemen coming out from behind our booth, and I'm like, big-eyed, like, what happened, man? And it kind of made me, but there was a guy that was a friend of the guy that was running the booth, and he was a police officer in there. So he got talking. That's how I found out what all that was about. But, oh man, how did I get on that? I know it was connected somehow. Let me get back to my verse where I was. Verse 36. As far as being restrained from going certain areas under judicial constraints. And a lot of times when judges pass sentences, they'll say certain stipulations that the sentence has to follow. And this is what happened to Shimei. He's saying, "Look, I'm not going to kill you, but you have to follow this. On penalty and on pain of death, if you don't, stay in Jerusalem. Never leave it. If you stay in Jerusalem, you can do whatever you want. The idea is, but you got to stay inside Jerusalem. So, for it shall be on the day that thou goest out and passes over the brook Kidron, that thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die, thy blood shall be upon thine own head." He says, look, the day you leave and pass over the brook, and I've been by that brook, it'll be your own fault because you will have chosen to transgress this sentence. You'll be in violation of court order. And Shimei said unto the king, "The saying is good." So he agreed to it. Free bargain, whatever you want to call it, I don't know. He accepted it. "As my lord the king hath said, so will thy servant do." Once again, as you'll see, insincere to his own detriment. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. He stuck it out for a good while. But that old heart of Shimei, he just wasn't compliant with what was common sense, much less right sometimes. And it came to pass at the end of 3 years. We're told exactly how long, which really isn't that long after all, when you consider when he does it, it's going to end his life. The two of the servants of Shimei, I mean, he had servants. He wasn't doing bad. Ran away into Achish, the son of Maacah, king of Gath, the Philistine king. And they told Shimei, saying, "Behold, thy servants be in Gath." Well, why couldn't he have sent someone to get him? Did he disregard Solomon, knowing how wise Solomon had already proven himself to be, to think? I mean, he really did not have the proper respect for the government in Israel. The king there, the Lord's anointed. And he didn't have a lot of common sense, if you ask me, either. But it says, "And Shimei arose and saddled his ass and went to Gath, to Achish, to seek his servants. And Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath." Again, he could have sent someone to do that. I don't know if he was cheap or what. Didn't want to pay someone to do it. I don't know. And it was told Solomon, well, of course, that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. He crossed over the brook twice. Look, buddy, if you're going to cross over the brook, you better keep going and just go into exile, because the day you come back, you're going to get killed.
What was he thinking? Do you know what he was thinking? I'd like to hear it. But at the very least, all he's told David, all he's told Solomon, it's insincere. He didn't follow it at all. He complied in lip only, but not in heart. And the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, did not I make thee to swear by the Lord and protest unto thee, saying, know for a certain on the day thou goest out and walkest abroad any whither that thou shalt surely die? And thou saidest unto me, the word that I have heard is good. You agreed with it. You didn't just say it was okay. He said it was good. Why then? Even Solomon, as wise as he could, couldn't figure out why the guy did this. It was foolish. It was self-willed, but that seems to be a problem with Shimei as well. Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I have charged thee with? No doubt he was testing Shimei's obedience and loyalty as well. The king said moreover to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to. I get the idea that Shimei had caused some grief since then. We're not really told. But he's saying, look, you know all the trouble that you tend to get into, that you're a troublemaker. You're not a troublemaker in the sense of asking questions, but just doing wrong things. That thou didst to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head, and King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. So the king commanded Benaiah, which was his replacement for Joab under David, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him that he died, and the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. So here we see the sentence. Look at Matthew chapter 12, please. And this is pretty much in closing. Matthew chapter 12. We see the slip, we see the sorry, we see the sowing, and we see the sentence. Matthew chapter 12. I'm not saying we shouldn't say sorry. When one of the disciples asked Jesus how many times we should forgive someone, how many times did Jesus say? 70 times 7. So I'm not belittling that. I'm saying his heart didn't seem to be behind it. And when we come to God or we come to others, we better make sure we're sincere in our walk with our Lord and with others. Because things come around to haunt us. You make mistakes, amen. Not that it's good, but we make mistakes in life. But we better be sincere about wanting to do what's right and wanting to get right with God and with people. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? You think about Shimei, perhaps? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. As syrupy and buttery, and as much smoothness of tongue there was when Shimei apologized to David after David was back in power, out of the abundance of the heart, as far as Shimei went, he crossed the line. And David still forgave him. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. The story of Shimei, an insincere servant. Isn't it something that in Ephesians 6:24 the Bible says, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Sincerity. Let's make sure that we're sincere toward Christ, sincere toward others. You can't be super Christian. You make mistakes. But sincerity is willing to learn. It's willing to listen. It's not being one way in front of one person and another way in front of another person. It's just being yourself, but in the same breath seeking to be like Christ. Sincerity. The story of Shimei, an insincere servant. There's a lot we can learn from him. And a lot we can learn, too, from how David handled him. But again, the story this morning is Shimei. And I think it's fascinating when you put all those pieces together, the story that it shapes about his life. I think things like that are wonderful. It's just neat how the Bible interweaves and dovetails with itself, and the things you can learn when you put things together. It's just amazing to me. Let's stand to our feet, heads down, and eyes closed. I don't know how the Lord's spoken to your heart.